Welcome to this Friday, November 1st edition of the WHFR Journal here on WHFR Dearborn. Thank you for joining in today. Susan McGraw with you. And, these are the times. Excuse my hoarse throat, my voice. It is allergy season, as we know, with the 80 degrees, then the 40 degrees, then the leaves and everything blowing around in between. So apologies for what you're going to hear, hopefully just a little bit of today. But we're so happy that you're here. And happy November, by the way. So glad that we are checking off the October box and moving into what is, I think, yet to be a beautiful November season. So we're glad you're with us. Today also marks the last Friday in the voting cycle for this 2024 wild roller coaster ride of an election season. And we can't think of here at WHFR anyone better to sort of give us our final analysis and briefing of what we still potentially have to do and what's to come than our friends at the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights. Just a wonderful, wonderful chapter doing amazing things to protect our democracy here in this metropolitan area. So it is with pleasure that I welcome back to our airwaves here at WHFR, co-president of League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights, Alicia Mazurek. Welcome back, Alicia. It's such a pleasure to always have the chance to chat with you on the Journal.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for the warm welcome. And thank you very much for giving us time on the airwaves of WHFR to talk here on this, as you said, this last Friday of the voting season of the November election. And thank you also for making the point of the fact that we are here and we have early voting. We have a November election date of Tuesday, November 5th, but what we have here for Friday, November 1st, and then this coming weekend for the voters here in Michigan are early voting options. So we're here today on Friday, November 1st, and that means there's still a full weekend of early voting for our voters here in the community. If they are thinking, oh boy, I really want to go to the polls in person, but I am not going to be able to make it on Tuesday, or it'll be really, really tricky to do that. Well, have no fear. You have many options now. And for this election, we've had 9 days of early voting that communities throughout the whole state were required to have. Some communities actually started a little earlier here, but we'll focus here on these next few days here before the Tuesday, November election. What that means is that each of these last days, there will be 8 hours of early voting available for voters here in our communities of Dearborn Heights, and then our league, we also cover Inkster, so we always focus on providing that information for Inkster as well. So those 9 days of early voting would have started with 2 Saturdays before the election day. So it started last Saturday, and we're in the thick of it. I actually worked at some early voting sites this week in my community of Dearborn Heights. And, we were there operating a polling place that looks like it does if you were to come in to vote at the election on the Tuesday general election. So you go in, you're able to cast your ballot, and you have that option through Sunday, November 3rd. That Monday before the election day, there's no early voting. Our local clerks are busy doing a lot of the things that they need to do to get ready for the Tuesday election. But Michigan voters now have those options to vote early through, and we haven't really talked about it, the absentee ballots, and then also the early voting. So let me just get out the hours and the sites here for Dearborn. If people aren't aware of this, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I live in Dearborn, where can I go to early vote? You're going to go to the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. That's right there at Greenfield and Michigan Avenue. The hours in Dearborn are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So again, that means that this Saturday, November 2nd, and Sunday, you have those 8 hours to be able to do your early voting in person. in Dearborn Heights. The location is at the Canfield Center. That's on Beach Daily in Dearborn Heights. And the hours in Dearborn Heights are between 8:30 and 4:30. And lastly, in Inkster, the location is on City Hall. And the hours, Monday through Friday hours, today being Friday, November 1st, you'll have till 4:30 today to get to Inkster if you wanted to do in-person early voting. But over the weekend for Saturday and Sunday, those hours will be between 8 and 4 p.m. And we know that, there's listeners here who might be listening to WHFR and might think, well, I don't live in any of those three communities. Please just check your local clerk's office, because here in Michigan, no matter where you live in Michigan, that clerk's office is going to be having 8 hours of early voting both this Saturday and this Sunday. So that option is available to you. And it's been lots of people coming out and doing it. I was able to get some information here, and I imagine by the time I know by the time we're having this conversation today, these numbers have gone up. But the latest information that I had found, that the Michigan Secretary of State put out, is that this was a Wednesday of this week, October 30th. They said that nearly 2.2 million Michigan voters have already cast their ballots. And that's either through a combination of those absentee ballots that Michigan makes available for any registered voter, no excuse absentee voting. You can get an absentee ballot and vote it. So far, over 1.6 million people have returned their absentee ballots. And then getting to that issue of early voting, nearly 505,700 people have done that early voting. So that's just at this point, not even halfway through the early voting period in Michigan. A half a million people have gone to those early voting sites. So it's been, and I was at the early voting site. People were lined up. They were expecting that over this weekend. Again, the numbers will be, just as great, with people wanting to come in and do that in-person voting, having that flexibility of being able to do it on the Saturday or Sunday. So, thank you for letting us get out the word to remind people that it's not too late to do that in-person early voting. And of course, the big election day is coming up on Tuesday, November 5th, and the polls will be open for that. But I did want to at least promote that early voting. And while I'm talking about early voting, another thing that I kind of saw in action yesterday while working at a early voting site, or earlier this week, because I worked a few days, is Michigan also has the ability to register here now up through and including on election day, November 5th. So if someone is listening to this right now, oh boy, I really, I missed it. I didn't get registered. I won't be able to vote. No, that's not the case. Here in Michigan, if you are qualified, if you meet the requirements to become a registered voter, you have up to and including on November 5th, Election Day, to get registered and cast your vote. So it's not too late. It's never too late. And I actually saw it in action. We had some people who came to the early voting site, weren't registered. They went to the clerk's office, got their registration done, came right back and cast their ballot. So I saw it in action. So please, if you're listening to this and thinking, gee, I'm not registered, I won't be able to vote, it's not too late. You can.
Thank you, Alicia. And I'd like to circle back to this, the concept of early voting in general here in Michigan, and that ability to register up in including Election Day. We recognize that different states have different rules, but I also remember a time not that long ago here in our great state of Michigan that none of these things were options for us as voters. And I remember saying, oh my gosh, I have to get out of work at a certain time so I can get there on that Tuesday, and da da da. And why can't they just make this easier? Why can't more people would vote if they would just make this easier? Well, we have, and that is not any one person's decision, as I recall. That was the decision of the people of the state of Michigan through some smart, minds that crafted some policies that felt there was equity in more options, and to make this process easier, simpler, which that's always a good thing in my book. We recognize that other states don't quite see it that way, and there could very well be politics involved in even that decision, and I suspect there are. However, this really is something that we are very privileged to have in Michigan, and I just kind of wanted to reiterate that. I know the League of Women Voters was very actively involved in helping to get these initiatives on the ballot, so it's really super wonderful that we're seeing people take advantage of it since they voted to have it, to get it to begin with.
Yes, absolutely. And this was because of a proposal that the citizens that passed overwhelmingly. This was a proposal that was on the November 2022 ballot that provided this early voting in particular, which is what we're talking about. But it provided a number of more flexibilities and conveniences and some updates to voting that the citizens of Michigan now have available. And and it has come to fruition in the word getting out. I mean, the first time we had early voting, there were some communities throughout our state who did some piloting of early voting last year, last fall. But here in Michigan, it became required by law for the February. If we're in a presidential election year, so this year we had a February presidential primary. We had a August primary election, and then we have the November election. So this election cycle this year, 2024, was the first time that the early voting started. And and people did it, but we thought, okay, do people know about it? So we in the league have been trying to let people know. And I think everyone was thinking, well, is people came and there were numbers, but the numbers that we've had have just been gangbusters this past weekend. So I feel, as someone who's on the league and someone who actually works at the polling places, the word's gotten out and people are exercising that right. And yes, hopefully the thinking is that someone who maybe would have had more difficulty to vote and maybe wouldn't have got to the polling place is now able to vote. We'll see what the turnout numbers are. But I can tell you, from personal knowledge, people coming into the polling place and casting their ballots, that it was an overall theme throughout the days that I was working on early voting. People coming in saying, "This is great. I was just driving by and I thought, oh, gee, I can vote today. I was driving back from Kroger and I saw the sign, came in, cast my ballot. They're on their way." Someone else said, "Oh, I got my work schedule messed up. I thought I had the day off that I was going to be able to work, not work on election day. Found out that I do have to, so I came in today and cast my ballot." So to just an overall feeling of people, unsolicited. We're not doing surveys. We're sitting here checking voters in, and they're saying, "This is great. I love this early voting." Those are actual quoted words of coming out of voters' mouths, and so it's really very encouraging. So we're happy about it, and happy to be able to people who maybe didn't know about it or maybe had heard something about it, be able to have us talk about it today and continue to spread the word.
Well, thank you for that. We here at WHFR, as our regular listeners know, remain and will always be a nonpartisan mouthpiece, of course, just sharing the facts and sharing the laws and what is available. That has always been our position and will always continue to be. We are an educational institution and therefore feel that that is an important component, both morally and ethically, and probably legally for that matter, but it's because we want to be this way. But we also recognize that we have actually kind of speaking about some of these options available. We have had calls from listeners saying, what are you all doing? What do you all think? And what's your opinion? Because for some reason, some people just want to know everybody else's, thoughts on these things. But what I find refreshing is, and almost a little emotional, is hearing so many people taking advantage of these things that didn't happen overnight. This whole process of getting this right to early voting, this right to registration up until, election day and so on. That was a seed that was planted. It was a process that had to take place. And then finally, now we hopefully, and I believe will, see the benefits of that. So none of this happens in a vacuum. It doesn't happen overnight. But when, making good investments in our future, they we'll see them pay off. And that's sort of what the process of election, of voting and elections is all about. So I really appreciate that. Alicia Mazurek is joining us. She is co-president of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. We say a special hello and thank you to Jen Oliver, her co-president, who I know is working very, very hard at this time as well. I want to say we're in the home stretch, but I don't think we're quite there yet, so I will hold that official term, in my mind. But we talk about the many of the options, and you mentioned absentee. Now, a question that always comes up, and I've shared what I believe is appropriate for the answer, but then I always say, go to League of Women Voters website or go to vote411.org to figure this out for sure. But if someone gets an absentee ballot because they just don't know. And as we know in the state of Michigan, anyone, there doesn't have to be a reason given any longer. Anyone can vote absentee, which is brilliant and should be the case everywhere, in my opinion. But what if they decide they want to go to the polls and actually vote anyway? Can they still do that if they physically have that absentee ballot? And obviously, at this point, we know it is too late to mail it in, so do not mail it in if you haven't yet. You need to drop it to a site, drop it into a Dropbox. But if they say, I actually have an hour at lunchtime on Tuesday, I think I'd like to go and get my sticker in person or whatever the case. What can we do legally as far as that goes, Alicia?
Yes, absolutely. So the issue of absentee ballots, if a voter receives one, they have a number of options. And sometimes people they request an absentee ballot and they get it, and the situation that you just described decide that they would like to vote in person. They have a number of options. They can actually fill out that absentee ballot, sit at their kitchen table, fill it out, and then take it to an early voting site. To You would still check in as a voter, and the your poll workers, the election workers would pull up your voter information, see that you have been issued an absentee ballot, and you would say yes. And again, I saw this in action, and assisted voters to do this. Say, I have my absentee ballot here. I'd like to cast it, and we check that in. We obtain the information we need to verify the ballot number, and then the voter is then able to go and cast that ballot through the tabulator. So that is an option. Sometimes people get that absentee ballot and they just decide they want to vote in person and vote a regular ballot. Their absentee ballot is just as regular and just as fine, but let's say they want to go to the polling place, fill out a ballot, whether that be at early voting or whether that be on Tuesday, November 5th. And all these things that I'm talking about are things that a voter can do now here during these final couple of days of early voting, or on Tuesday, November 5th, the general election day. You can go and say, I have this absentee ballot. I want to surrender it because I want to get one of these ballots that you're issuing today at the site, and that's the one I want to fill in. And we're happy to do that. We have a process that as election workers we would go through and do, and issue them a ballot at the polling place. They then cast it and put it through the tabulator. So again, there's those flexibilities to use that absentee ballot you were issued, or turn it, surrender it is the term that is used in the polling place procedures, and get issued a ballot at the polling place. Sometimes it also happens, here while we're talking about absentee ballots, sometimes it also happens that someone hasn't yet received that absentee ballot, but they want to vote, or they lost it. They're like, I got it. I just don't know where it is. I end up having sometimes stacks of mail and things, and you think, oh, where is it? If you've been issued it, when you go to the polling place, that will be in the system, because the clerk's poll book records that the election workers are using at the polling place will show that. And they'll ask you about it, and they'll say, I lost it, the dog ate it, it got destroyed. And but I hear, that's okay. You can still vote. There is a procedure that you would go through. There's a form that you would fill out, and you were able to cast your ballot. So again, lots of flexibilities that voters have in the issue of absentee ballots. And before I know you may want to move on to another subject, but thank you so much for making that point of something that's near and dear to our heart at the League, our Vote 411 website, that source of, trusted, nonpartisan, personalized voting information that people can go on, put their address in, and see everything that's on the ballot. While I'm talking about vote411.org, the website here in our league, our local league, we put together a local voter guide because you're going to have everything that you'll find on vote411.org goes all the way from the highest elected office that's on the ballot this year, that being the U.S. presidential, all the way down to the local races. And there's lots of local races in all of the communities here. We've got school board, we've got millage in Wayne County renewals. We've got a bond proposal in Dearborn Heights, some of the schools, and judges. So what we've done is we had a local voter guide that you can find it throughout the campus or libraries or community centers here in the local communities, or you can find it online. You can click on a link and it gives you that information, as well as Candidate Forum, another race that is at the statewide level this year is the Michigan Supreme Court. And at the state league level, there was a candidate forum that was held. Some of the candidates who are on the ballot attended that. And you can find a link to the recording of that candidate forum on our website, the League of Women Voters at Dearborn Heights. We also did a local candidate forum for the Dearborn School Board. There's an election this year for Dearborn School. I think there's 10 or so candidates. Two voters in Dearborn will be selecting two candidates for the Dearborn School Board. And WHFR, you played the recording of that. And thank you for doing that. We appreciate that because we know that we reached many ears of voters through that broadcast. But if someone maybe, oh, I missed the broadcast, I'd like to hear that recording, you can find that on our website as well. So through our website or through vote411.org, there is a lot of information for those local elections that we should not forget about, because the saying all politics is local, it really is true. And this year we have many important local issues on our ballots, as well as, of course, the federal and statewide elections that we have. It's a big ballot this year. Look on, if you haven't already, voted your ballot, whether you get to the polling place or you're going to fill out your absentee ballot and take it to a drop box, look on both sides. It's a two-sided ballot this year.
Absolutely. Thank you. We are grateful for the vote411.org as well. It's a quick and easy to remember and makes perfect sense. But also, let me give the address for the League of Women Voters website, lwvddh.org. LWV, League of Women Voters, DDH, Dearborn Heights, .org. And yeah, it's a super website. So we thank you for helping to provide that information, and you personally for bringing some of those voter guides over to us here at Henry Ford College. We appreciate that. We don't take lightly the opportunity, and for our sort of mission at our community college to encourage our students, and frankly, we feel it is our duty as members working on a campus community to instill in our students the importance of participating in our free and fair elections, and how it's something that they'll regret not doing down the road, and starting to create that sense of, yeah, this is something that I will do every time. For some of us, seeing students that are just turning 18, right? They're just there now. It's very exciting. While it can be a little daunting, certainly, it's exciting to be able to be on those front ends of trying to help make informed citizens of these young people that are kind of trying to figure it out. This is for everybody, and dare I say, more for them than it is for us as we're getting older. So it's pretty exciting. So thank you for everything that you're doing to help inform us and give us what we need to do our jobs.
Thank you, Susan. And I just, as you said that, this week's been it's been a full week, but there were a couple of days this week I did work at the early voting site, and we did have first time voters. And actually, what we were doing at our site is we would announce first time voter, and we clapped. We one person maybe had a cowbell one day or a whistle, so we celebrated. I mean, it was, and you saw people who were coming in, families coming together. So, we really want to at the league and as many people who are working at the polling places, and whether as observers or election workers or members of the league, or whether they are or aren't, we really want to recognize and acknowledge when someone is a first time voter. And it's exciting. It is exciting. It's inspiring too.
Oh, no doubt. It's giving me chills just thinking about it. We recognize that as many people as will do these early options, just as many will come out on November 5th, and we hope they will. That's still welcome, of course, on official election day. What should we be prepared for? What do we need to know? What do we need to bring? And just give us some insight.
Sure. It's very important to keep in mind that, even though we have these flexibilities of absentee ballots and early voting in-person sites, we also have an official election day that is the, big kahuna, as it were, of Tuesday, November 5th. And there's nothing about Tuesday, November 5th, that changes because of the fact that we have absentee ballots and early voting. We still have an election day where, whatever community you live in, wherever you live, you will have an assigned precinct that you will go to, and that will be open from 7 a.m. on Tuesday, November 5th. The polling place will be open continuously throughout Tuesday, November 5th, until the closing time of 8 p.m. So, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., you have the ability to go to your assigned polling place, your assigned precinct, and I can, give you some resource. You can find where your assigned precinct is a number of different ways. Susan has given the league's website. For our league, where you can get to this information, but also vote411.org, the league's nonpartisan voter information site. You can put in your address and get personalized information about what's on the ballot, as well as personalized information about, where your precinct is, who your clerk is, what community you're in. So you know where to go on election day, Tuesday, November 5th, if that's how you choose to exercise your right to vote. The polls are open until 8 p.m. What that means is if you are in line at the polling place at 8 p.m., you have the right to be issued a ballot and to vote that ballot. Now, we are expecting the polling places. We have seen very brisk turnout at early voting sites. With that being said, we are expecting the polling places to be quite brisk themselves, be quite busy. So it is quite possible that at the time one of the election workers makes the announcement, hear ye, the polls are now closed, there may be people who are standing in a line who have not yet received their ballot. It is very important for you to know as a voter that if you are standing in that line at 8 p.m., you have the right to be issued a ballot and then to cast that ballot in the tabulator that is at the polling place. So please know that. Please, as you have conversations with people, please let them know that. Because and at the polling places, the election workers have, systems. They want to know who's in a line. If they know that not everyone who has a ballot to cast is going to be able to get to that tabulator by 8 p.m., they're going to look at the precinct. They're going to maybe see a line that's going down the school hall. They're going to know, okay, here's the line. This is 8 p.m. These are the people. So they're going to be aware of this. But I want to make sure, and the league wants to make sure that as we get to that day, that is a very critical piece of information that everyone needs to know. So please know that. Don't let anyone tell you that if you are in a situation that you are standing in that line at 8 p.m. and you have not yet been issued a ballot and put it through the tabulator, you are in that line at 8 p.m. at an open polling place. You have the right to cast a ballot. Please know that, and please spread the word about that. And kind of related to this, as we get to Election Day, there's a number of hotlines. They can be found at our website. But let me just, while we're here on the, if you don't mind, Susan, if I could just get out the digits, get out the numbers for them. The Election Day hotlines are 866 Our Vote, that's spelled OURVOTE, or the actual number is 866 687-8683. Another Election Day hotline in Arabic is 844 Yalla US. That number is 844-925-5287. There's also a Spanish hotline, 888 VEYVOTA, and then Asian language hotline of 888 APIVOTE. So if you look, you can find those at our website, someone could find those online. But these are hotlines that are available. They're staffed by people who are educated. Many times they're staffed by lawyers who have stepped up and said, I'm going to staff this hotline on Election Day and be able to field questions, because there's a lot going on. There people could have questions. There could be issues that arise. We at the league want voters to know their rights, their options and their flexibilities, but also know their rights.
Thank you. And it is a right, in fact. And here at WHFR Radio, we have been encouraging our listeners, encouraging you to exercise that right and make that voting plan. That's the thing that we've been talking about a lot, is make a voting plan. And even at this late stage, if you don't feel like you have a voting plan yet, it's absolutely, absolutely not too late. Now is the time, based on all of this information that Alicia has shared through her connection to this community and the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. Alicia, before we wrap up today, I just want to share, first of all, thank you for this conversation. I'm feeling more encouraged, frankly. I'm feeling empowered because that's what this should be. It is empowering. And as we maybe start to feel a little bit bogged down or pulled down by some of the negativity that might exist, not something that we want to focus on, in encouraging people to vote, but at least recognizing that we know that this has not been an easy time in just the world of U.S. politics in general, both at the very local level all the way up to the top. So recognizing that this may not be the easiest thing to be going through right now, but countering that with the fact that we have rights and we have the power to make our voice known through our vote, and utilizing that and not letting the powers that be try to discourage us through either apathy or just general upset or depression about the state of whatever. These are free and fair elections, and it is our not only our civic duty, and as I tell my students, but it is our right and it is our privilege that we are so fortunate to have in these United States. So sort of keeping that positive mindset to motivate us to do what we know is the right thing to do. I hope and trust and believe that that will continue to create a mindset of those, particularly our listening audience, willing to take the time and feeling like they have no other choice but to take the time as an informed citizen to do what they need to do, which is exercise that right to vote. You being on these sort of front lines, and I don't usually like to use terms like that, but as we have all talked about in the past, and we're sort of deemed a battleground state. I don't like that term either so much, but that's what they're using. Some countries know battlegrounds much, much differently than the ones that we're talking about. But still, this can be certainly a difficult and challenging time. But being informed, knowing our rights, and ultimately executing the options that you've shared today, and sort of saying, yes, we've done it, it's pretty darn empowering. So is that what gets you all through this what must be an exhausting cycle?
Yes, it does. And it's so great that you've brought up this point about empowerment. I mean, what we at the League want to do, that's part of what we, part of what our tagline is, educating and empowering voters. We also like to say democracy is not a spectator sport. It is a sport. It's an activity that you want to get involved in. The League wants to encourage people to be involved in an active participant in their communities, in the active civic participation, the political process. We are nonpartisan, but the League is all about being involved in the political process, the process that we use to exercise our most fundamental right as citizens to vote, to cast a vote. And we encourage it. What gets me I don't want to say inspired, but what keeps me motivated is knowing how precious and how important that fundamental right to vote is. And I want to, as a member of the league, our local league, do everything I can to make other citizens be educated about what their rights are and then be empowered to exercise those rights. We have, as part of our website, we want, and we want others to, join us on that mission or journey to educate and empower voters. Our league, and I would, our website says our league will only be as strong as our members, men and women from the community who are willing to lend their time and energy to educate, advocate, and empower voters. I actually would propose that you could switch out the words of our league and change it to our community, our country, our nation. We are only as strong as our citizens, our fellow voters. So that's what keeps me going on the important, work that the league does. And it really boils down to, I mean, I look at it as big picture, and all the people that our league works with, the dedicated members, are volunteers. Because I, you know, and please, thank you, Susan, for giving the plug to our website, because on that website you can find information about how you can join us and become a member and join and be a part of the amazing fellow members that are part of the league that we all work together to do that education and empowering of voters. That's what's inspiring, to have people who are volunteers who care about this fundamental right to vote and get involved in their community to spread the word about how important the right to vote is. And now at the time when the league really shines, election time, what they could do to exercise, keeping in mind that after November 5th, the work continues because there always is another election.
Absolutely. Well, you are shining very brightly, and you're our superstars, and we thank you for that. Also, a sort of a thank you and a shout out to all of those people who have dedicated their time to sign up to be poll workers, to help get the word out through whatever other means are phone banks and so on going on, just encouraging people to exercise this right, and those that are going to be standing by to support this entire process. We know, again, These things don't happen in a day, and clearly that's not the case. So everyone who has volunteered, or I know even some of my students who have are spending their time at the polls, make even earning a little bit of money to do that. But what a great way to to be part of this process, part of the active component of what makes these U.S. And state of Michigan free and fair elections just that. So we thank everyone that has paved the way for us to do what we need to do, which is get out and vote. So Alicia, very grateful to you. We know that we'll see you again on the other side of this, certainly. And we appreciate the dedication and commitment that both you, Jen, and your entire organization has committed to helping our community be empowered, embracing our differences, knowing that you don't have to agree with your neighbor on everything, but we can all, I think, come to the agreement that it is critically important to get out there and exercise this right as American citizens. So thank you for that. We wish you much success in the days and weeks and months ahead. Get a little rest in there, hopefully. I know you're going to need it, but always grateful to have you on the journal.
Thank you, Susan, and we at the League appreciate your support and all you do with the journal and we thank you for that.
One more time, for more information, vote411.org, vote411.org, or direct connection to the League of Women Voters website for our local area, lwvddh.org. It's just as simple as that. We thank you for listening to this portion of the journal. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with more. And again, happy November.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Thanks for staying with us on this November 1st edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw with you. Perhaps you're listening online at WHFR.fm, or even better, in our local community right here at 89.3 FM. Either way, we're glad you're here, and do stay with us throughout this weekend. Hope you had a nice Halloween. And as we sort of turn the page into the month of November, I don't know about you, but I think it's kind of a nice time to reset, recharge, and amid all of the wildness we've got going on with election time, a chance to just sort of regroup and think about the humanity and kindness that we want to see in the world, and perhaps we can be a part of that change. So we leave you with this piece from our friends at PRX, Public Radio Exchange, a piece called Empathy and Recognition, Fueling Positivity. This is an episode hosted by John C. Morley, who explores the remarkable power of kindness and celebrating others as essential tools for building stronger communities. This is part of a podcast series that John C. Morley has created. We hope you enjoy it. I think you will. And we wish you all the best. Have a great weekend. Take care. Thanks for listening to the WHFR Journal.
All right. So I do want to let you know that we are on a master topic of Understanding the Power of Good, Series 3, Show 44. Go get yourself a delicious hot beverage, or maybe an icy cold beverage, maybe some fresh fruit, like something healthy for you, a snack, maybe something unhealthy, like chocolate, candy, or another sweet. So go ahead and do that. Run over, and I'll be here as we start kicking off the show. All right, everyone? So in our fast-paced world, small acts of kindness and celebrating others can transform lives in ways we often overlook. In this episode, I am your host, John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. I'm a podcast coach and also your host. And what we're going to be talking about tonight in Inspirations for Your Life, we'll dive into the extraordinary impact of compassion and recognition from the subtle power of a smile to the profound effect of acknowledging others. We'll explore how these principles foster well-being, boost resilience, and nurture stronger communities. And so we'll talk about things like practical techniques that can amplify your daily interactions and discover your own kindness and let that ripple out to make the world an even better place. All right, hurry back from the kitchen. Let's get this show started. All right, everyone. So the first thing is when we talk about the first part of this, which is understanding something really, really, really powerful, and that is acts of compassion. So first one is the power of small acts. A simple gesture can spark joy and make someone's day. Every small act counts. Small acts have a big impact. I was talking to somebody today, actually, it was about a charity type thing that we were doing. And the person that I called that was running this center said to me, "Thank you so much for calling. You really made my day." I wasn't expecting to hear that, but when I did, it made me feel great inside. Empathy in action. Walk in others' shoes and feel the powerful connection that empathy creates. That's important, guys. The ripple effect. I've been talking about this a few times. One act of kindness can inspire countless others and watch the waves of positivity grow. Strength through support. Supporting others makes us stronger together. Compassion is our collective strength. Strength in kindness. Mindfulness and presence. Being present is the key to seeing others' needs and noticing and nurturing those around you. Be mindful. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is just one part of life. Benefits for well-being. Well, kindness isn't just good for others. It lifts our spirits and boosts our own health. Kindness heals. Collective impact. Together, compassion acts make a big impact. And so when we learn that our thought, our act in conjunction with somebody else can actually make a really big difference in someone else's life. So that might sound hard for a lot of people, but I think the concept of small is not in the size. Small is in the perceived value, but any little gesture that you make, ladies and gentlemen, can be so powerful. I mean, really, really powerful, right? So powerful that it can transcend your greatest aspirations. Understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that we start small and we grow big. Let me give you an example. How many of you out there have ever played with a 3D printer? Well, I have a few of those and I've played with them. And so when you print something, you start small and you grow big, but you always start very small. And I think sometimes when people hear the word start small, they believe that there's not an impact. They believe that they're not going to matter to someone, but actually that's completely false. You see, it doesn't matter how much you put in something. It's the intention. Okay, it's the way you do something. You don't have to do something very grand. It's just that little thought. The thought of holding a door open for someone. The thought of saying thank you to someone. It goes a long way. It really goes a long way. And so the other part of tonight that I want to talk about, which I think is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, and that is celebrating others. Do you celebrate yourself and celebrate others? I bet you don't. Or if you do, I bet it's so short-lived that you can't even realize why something is happening, right? I bet that's important. I bet that's very important for you. The thing that I want to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Celebrate yourself and celebrate others. Recognition as empowerment. Celebrating others gives them the strength and encouragement to reach new heights. Celebrate yourself. Will also put yourself in that same light of empowering you. Highlighting unique strengths. Everyone shines differently, everyone. Let's learn how to honor each unique light. They all have a very special gift. Not only the color or the attitude or the unique personality, but the way in which the strength is able to be given to others. Create a culture of appreciation. Appreciation builds bonds. Let's make appreciation a daily habit, a gratitude culture. You've heard me talk about my gratitude rock before, right? It's a nice, small, green, flat rock that I, you know, can literally have my hands and go back and forth with, a gratitude rock. I think that's very, very powerful. Creating a culture of gratitude is priceless. The question I want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is how often do you stop and feel grateful for everything you have? Is it once a week, once a month? Once a year? Is it more than that? And I bet the average person would probably say they're grateful for things once or twice a year. I know the first time it would probably be maybe on Thanksgiving. Another time might be Christmas or another special holiday, like a Kwanzaa, like Hanukkah. Another time might be your birthday. So I know of three times that most people are grateful. But that's not a lot of time. We should be grateful for every single day that we get up and we are breathing. I'm being serious about that, dead serious about that. Pay it forward. Paying it forward doesn't mean to be giving people money every day. You celebrate others and you do things to help them. We can inspire others to lift others up. Keeping kindness in motion. Again, paying it forward doesn't require a large investment. It just requires some care, a little thought, and I would say the desire to want to empower someone else, to make them feel good. That's important, guys. Very, very important. So pay it forward whenever you can. Diversity of contributions. Every contribution counts. Doesn't have to be financial. Diversity is our strength. Value every voice. Value every gift. Value every thought. Value every action. When somebody holds the door open for you, do you say thank you? Do you just grab the door or do you just like blow it off like, oh, well, of course you should hold the door for me. Do you give gratitude for things in your life? Do you give gratitude that you're alive? Do you give gratitude that you're breathing? Do you give gratitude that you're getting home safely? Give gratitude for these things. Your life will change. Make a practice every day to become just a little bit grateful for the things you have. And more things in your life will show up that you can be grateful for. I mean, you might say, John, I don't have time. You don't have time before you go to sleep or before you get up in the morning to be grateful for something? Come on. You don't have time to be grateful for the food you have, the clothes you're wearing, the home you live in, right? the car you drive, the friends you have, the intelligence that you are gifted with. You don't have time to be grateful for the love that's around you, whether that's from friends, platonic, non-platonic. You don't have time to just spend a few moments a day to be grateful. That's pretty sad. Everyone has time to be grateful. For those that I know who are grateful have abundance of time to do other things. Those that are never grateful are always complaining about things that are happening to them or that are not happening to them. Building community through recognition. Recognize others, and what this will do is create a connection and a belongingness to them. Everyone wants to feel accepted and needed. And those that say they don't, well, they're lying. So why don't we continue to build a great community? Why don't we recognize others regardless of what they're going to do for us? Let's make the choice to lift them up in their world without being concerned how it's going to affect us. Modeling positive behavior. When we celebrate others, we set an example for everyone around us. Be that example. That's it. Be that example. These are not hard things, but when we start to develop an attitude of gratitude every day, it becomes as natural and as autonomous as we breathe. We don't think about breathing. Breathing just happens. If you could be grateful on autopilot right now, I know it would change your life. I do something called John's Alphabet of Gratitude, where I start with the letter A and I just keep going through for so many letters, and I feel things I'm grateful for. Air, right? A, attitude. B, maybe it's the birds outside. Maybe it's boats, but feel the gratitude for it. Feel it. Maybe I'm grateful because of the wonderful belief that I have every day, and it propels me forward. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who I am by now, please allow me to introduce myself. I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. Always such a privilege and pleasure to be with you guys. Do check out BelieveMeAchieve.com. Start to realize what's in front of you. Start to understand the potential of what's there. And be grateful for what's in front of you, for the people that are in your life, and for all the thoughts that you get. I hope you guys have a great rest of your evening. Be well, everyone.